Space. What endless mystery. Look at it. Wow. Who do dare uncover its secrets? The brave crew of the starship Cavalier do dare to scout the heavens, to see some moons, to take a dangerous galaxy trip. This is the true story of them that voyage among, oh, these, those stars of space. Tonight's episode is Cold Case, starring Christopher Hastings as Dr. Dewey, Carly Minardo as Bubsriel, Tim Platt as Groomda, and Joe Lepore as everything and everyone else.
ENT's log, space date 64057.J. Sorry, log. I wish I could be reporting on some weird adventure I got myself tangled up in. But today I have to actually do some work. I know, I'm sorry. Anywho, the Cavalier sensors have detected an ancient Earth spacecraft all the way out here deep in the galaxy. Back before they invented Hyperwarp, Earth was so horny for space. They would send ships on centuries-long voyages to explore distant stars and put the whole crew in cryopods. So, we found one. Now we get to go over there, tell them all, everyone they ever knew has been dead for 100 years, and introduce them to a bunch of aliens. Would be neat, I guess.
We fade in on the shuttle bay of the CSS Cavalier as a smaller, aged spacecraft is towed in. It looks rudimentary, with fuel tanks and other critical equipment attached to the exterior hull. A faded panel on the side is hard to make out, but yes, there it is. It reads, USS Brolin. USS. Wow. I guess this predates the Consilium. We fade into the bridge of this craft. Unlike the sleek and sophisticated CSS Cavalier, this vessel is cramped and utilitarian. There are only two computer stations, and in the back of the room, two cryopods glow faintly. With a hiss, the airlock is opened, and four Cavalier crew members walk tentatively on board. Who do we see?
Well, you see Dr. Thomas Dewey. He's got a big bald head. It's nice and chained up, except for two massive sprouts coming from the side. And he's wearing a lab coat and a very, very brightly colored Hawaiian shirt and cargo shorts and a saber.
And Dr. Dewey he's checking his lab coat for all of his equipment that he knows he needs to run through for bringing someone out of cryosleep and ensuring their vitals are good and all that.
Behind him, you can't miss her. She is tall, with a short brown pageboy haircut bisected by the brim and band of a plastic visor that reads Lieutenant Junior Grade. And above that visor, the rest of her head. And above that, a halo. What? And wings? This is a space angel, and her name is Bubsriel. Wow!
Behind her, you see Groomda, a mound of tentacles writhing together, interlocking, hugging, and forming a strange face of tentacles, with tentacle arms also made of tentacles. A creepy man, strangely enough, We know not his alien species, but we do know he is man. That's right, it's Megwunda, and I am man, masculine as for sure.
And bringing up the rear is Ensign O'Boyle. No, though his last name might suggest it, he is not a teleporter specialist. He just happens to have Irish heritage.
Wow, to think no one has boarded this vessel in hundreds of years. It's almost like we're not spacefarers, we're archaeologists.
Well, that's only if they're dead.
That's true.
And that's Rabia's fault to make sure that they're not. Don't worry, you don't have to be an archaeologist. You can just be another teleporter technician.
That's the thing. I'm not actually going into teleportation because I'm not actually. I was born in Ohio.
Oh, but the blood is in there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I you know, I have a lot of you know, I was considering engineering.
Yeah. Sure. Teleportation is in the Irish's blood. You'll figure it out eventually. Take it from me, a doctor.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I am a space angel, and even if these people were splattered all over the walls of this craft, I would be able to snap my fingers and bring them back. But only if my superior officer told me I could. And she adjusts the brim of her Lieutenant Junior Grade visor.
And of course I am here, Gwumda is here, as a scientist, a social scientist. These people may have never have seen an alien species before, and so I want to see how they act when they see me for the first time. You see, everyone on the Cavalier, they're so humdrum about Gwumda. They've seen Gwumda a million times, and they've seen aliens a million times, and so they treat me just like everybody else. But these strange humans, they've never seen someone like me before, and I want to use social science to learn about how they react. That's right. I'm a social scientist. I don't know if that's been affirmed before, but that's the way I've always played it.
Ensign O'Boyle is at one of the computer terminals. It looks like according to this, ship launched in 2084.
Wow.
They've been in space for almost 400 years.
They've been bing-bonging around for a long time now.
Gwumda, you might want to be careful. This is before we made first contact with aliens.
I'm aware. That's why I'm here. I want to see how they react. But good point. It would be a poor move to scare them. I should ease them into my whole thing. That's why you all here, a human being understanding doctory stuff, and you, a Christian in the style that era seemed to be okay with. You two might be an easy transition into the Gwumda show.
Surely four humans would have been the best crew to approach this mission, but we're who's available.
Best case scenario, they see me and think they're dead.
Look, I've got some more data pulled up. It looks like this was crewed by, a married couple. Desmond and Janet Softwater.
Wow, married? How romantic.
Yeah, I mean, they're married. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I guess I don't talk about romance much. Being a space angel, I don't have much use for it.
Hey, believe me, being a married couple, they don't have use for romance either.
Gwumda, to think, once upon a time, this old bucket of bolts was the most advanced craft that human civilization had ever built. They put all their dreams into this thing.
I suggest we open up the pods and proceed with caution. Their emotional life might be crazy, which is why a social scientist is here. Just validating my presence.
And why is the teleporter here?
I'm not a teleporter. I'm just an ensign.
Oh, I'm a lieutenant junior grade.
I know we used to be ensigns together until you got promoted.
Thank you.
Pop Thrill, you're big timing a former peer.
What?
You're big timing. Well, you know, when you've elevated in social or professional status over someone and then begin to act like you're better than them, that you never knew them at all. Big timing.
I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying I believe in hierarchy.
When we were both ensigns and we'd be on duty together, you'd often talk about how you should be the captain.
I should be the captain. I'm not ready yet, though. I must rise the ranks, humble though they may be. Though I am a space angel with infinite powers, I believe in this journey I'm on. Praise him, praise him.
All right, well, there's a thin layer of frost on these cryopods, but I'm going to rub it away so we can see who's inside.
Yay!
Go for it. That's a great idea. Use your eyeballs.
I like it when you share scientific facts. Eyeballs. It's what they're there for.
Ensign O'Boyle wipes away the frozen condensation on the first cryopod.
Okay.
It brings me no pleasure to report this, dear listeners, but we do not see a softly sleeping astronaut from the past.
What?
No. Instead, you see a desiccated and gaunt corpse.
No!
Preserved inside the pod, but definitively dead, is the corpse of a man. A name tag on his chest reads, D. Softwater. Oh, I guess this is Desmond. Desmond Softwater. D. Softwater.
That's called environmental storytelling.
Oh my goodness! Desmond!
Wait, we can't be sure. Who knows what these prehistoric humans looked like? This may be a very healthy person before he grew all of the things that we need in our bodies to survive here in the future. Things like fat and good-looking skin.
Good point. Then Desmond shall be the control group, while this other pod right here will be the experiment. And the experiment will be seeing what they look like.
Should I open the pod? So the doctor can take readings.
Yes, yes, please. Of course, we are dealing with who knows what sort of atmosphere or diseases in there. Everyone activate your bio shields.
Grumda's face, usually a bunch of tentacles moving around, turn around, showing only his suction cups where his face once was. This is his version of the bio shield.
Bub's Reel does not require a bio shield, but she obliges him.
And Dr. Dewey dons a surgical mask.
Ensign O'Boyle activates his bio shield. He presses a button on the side of the cryopod, and with a hiss, the pod opens. There is a burst of teal gas that escapes from the pod that briefly blinds you all, but after a moment it clears, leaving you alone with this long-departed spacefarer.
Dr. Dewey pulls out his hypodermic stethoscope, and he places it on the corpse's chest and listens for a heartbeat or a breath.
Well, Doctor, do you hear anything?
May I roll my die?
Yeah.
That's
go ahead.
That's a laser's roll. I'm trying to
make a laser's roll.
I got a 2. That's a success.
You hear nothing. He's dead.
This man is dead. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. It's not your fault. You're just the one who found the dead corpse.
Oh, you're right. I feel absolved already.
Absolved? Hey, Bub's Reel, that's your department.
Bub's Reel's head, her forehead is pressed against the forehead of this corpse, and she is trying to speak to perhaps any lingering, ethereal residue that might be there still.
Interesting. Bub's Reel, can you make a feelings roll?
Yes. It's a success. I got a 4. Wait, I did roll a 20-sided die. I was like, I don't know if this is right.
But you still got a 4.
I know. That's why I was like, oh.
Give it a 6. Give it a 6.
Now it's a failure.
Great.
You can't feel anything.
Okay, yeah, she's pressed her forehead against the forehead of this corpse, and she says, "Hello!" And there's no answer.
The soul moved on a long time ago.
Aw, bless it.
Of course you know when something's moving on, transporting or something like that. Let's look at this other pod and see who's inside. Grumda holds up his tentacle arm and wipes the condensation off the pod.
Please, Grumda, please tell me you see life.
I see.
It brings me no pleasure to report this, Grumda, but we do not see what we saw in the other cryopod. Change is hard. Instead, we see a perfectly preserved human woman in cryosleep. Her name tag reads, J. Softwater.
She's dead.
Now, wait, Grumda, what? You may not know the intricacies of human physiology the same ways that me, an ear, nose, and throat doctor do. But there are many signs here that this is a healthier specimen than the very, very dead one.
And Dr. Dewey retracts the needle from his hypodermic stethoscope.
Thank goodness we've got a biologic scientist here. Unlike me, who's more at the vibes. Let's see if she will awaken.
Grumda opens the pod and steps back, not wanting to scare her with his alien form.
Get out, Grumda, get down.
Grumda!
Bubsreel is standing over the pod front and center, and she's like glowing warmly. She looks kind of like a painting of a visitation. This will make her feel good.
There's a hiss as the cryopod opens, but this time there's no gas. Instead, it opens smoothly and easily. The sleeping person begins to show signs of life. She shifts momentarily in the bed.
Bubsreel's beatific face putting two and two together from the former pod opening. She beams down at this weary traveler and says, "Greetings. Your husband has farted himself to death."
Her eyes flutter open. What?
"Hi, I'm Bubsreel. Praise him who has preserved you on this journey. Your husband was next to you?"
Who are you?
Bubsreel, did I? I thought I said, "I'm Bubsreel."
You said, yeah, no, you said.
Rude, right?
Being deliberately obtuse, you said.
How did you find my ship? How are we here?
Hello, I'm Dr. Dewey, a very normal-looking doctor. You probably have only seen a couple angels in your lifetime, but so many doctors. Be not afraid.
An angel?
Yes.
She bolts up for a moment and then faints.
Oh.
This ain't gonna be easy.
Oh, brother.
Let's get her inside the ship.
We fade now to the sickbay of the CSS Cavalier. There in a berth, we see this time-lost spacefarer, Janet Softwater. As the assembled crew gathers around her, she awakens again.
What happened?
You are on a spaceship that went very, very far. You remember that, right?
Yes, of course. We were supposed to explore Alpha Centauri.
Oh, yes. You got there. And there wasn't anything good. And so your ship kept on going. And...
So I'm back at Earth now? You're a human, right? I'm back at Earth?
I'm a human. Now let's talk about timing. How upset would it be for you if you were to find out it was 200 years since you departed Earth?
Well, it was supposed to take us 10 years to reach Alpha Centauri,
yes,
and 10 years to return, so I would be pretty upset about that.
That's pretty bad, right? Yes.
But luckily, it's only been that 20 years, right?
No, it's just that set your expectations there and then demolish them because it's been thousands of years.
Thousands of years?
No. Sorry, Dr. Dewey, come on. Hi, I'm Grumda. It's only been 400.
Whoa. What is that?
Very interesting. You're shocked to see me. Hi, I'm Grumda. And your eyes, I'm an alien species. You've been 400 years into the future. You're 400 years into the future where humans have interacted with all other types of aliens, me included.
How is he talking?
It's unclear.
You're an alien?
To you. To me, I'm Grumda.
So, it's just normal for you to work side by side? Humans, there are many of you aboard wherever this ship is?
There are so many aliens on board this ship, but Grumda is the most disgusting to old-style Earth ideas of aesthetic.
Now, this is something I wish I had picked up in my social science. I'm disgusting to Earth people. Somehow I missed that with my calculations.
Don't worry about it, Groomda. Everybody catches on once they get to know your sexy personality.
Thanks, Dr. Dewey.
You're welcome, Groomda.
We're back at Earth, right? This is Earth?
Oh, honey.
Oh, so you've already gotten used to the idea that it's 400 years in your future, yeah?
Kind of? I don't know. As 400 years, everyone I've ever known, they're dead.
But you get to meet all of their children. I'm one of them.
You're the child of someone I knew?
I mean, you know, like the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild of somebody who was born in the generation of people you knew. We're not on Earth. We're nowhere near it.
Then how did you find me? How are you here?
I'm on a better spaceship. We figured some out over the hundreds of years.
You traveled here within your lifetime?
Oh, it was no problem.
You also traveled here within your lifetime. Not your husband, though. He died.
Not my natural... What? Well, sorry, what did you say about my husband?
He died.
It was sort of the first thing we told you?
No, what?
Bub's real, like, kind of, like, motions to her colleagues to, like, have a sidebar with her for a second.
Yes.
It's not just me, right? She's not listening.
She's not listening. Okay. She's confused.
Take it from an ear doctor. She's not listening. But she wants to. We're just overwhelming the brain that's in between the two ears. We're stuffing too much information into them. And so she doesn't hear all of it. We have to take it easy on her.
Do you think some of us should leave the room?
I will leave the room. I think I see what's happening. She is overwhelmed by my strange alien appearance, and now that I've learned that someone who hasn't seen an alien before will be freaked out by Groomda, I have learned something from my records. But I shall be outside while you two ease her into this new reality she has befallen.
Well, I think only one of us should be here. And Bubsreel turns to Dr. Dewey, admiring his stethoscope, and says, "You should go."
Yes, of course, Lieutenant.
Junior grade.
I'm so sorry. Yes, Lieutenant Junior Grade. We doctors answer to every other rank on the ship.
Bubsreel walks to the foot of Janet's bed, arms outstretched.
You have to understand, to me, I saw my husband an hour ago when we entered the cryopods, but now I learned that was 400 years ago and he's dead?
Bubsreel nods solemnly and then she says, "You look great."
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I'm sorry, I'm just so overwhelmed.
She's like sort of just patting Janet's back. There. It's hard.
And you're an angel?
I'm a space angel.
What? So you're not a real angel?
Bubsreel's eyes flicker with a green flame for just a moment before she swallows hard and then reopens her big, beautiful eyes. What did you say?
So it's just, that's just like a figure of speech. You're not like an actual, like, angel from the Bible. You're just like, your species of alien is called space angels.
I am from the space Bible.
You're from the space Bible?
Yes.
So you're telling me that, like, God is real.
Do you have other questions, maybe?
That's a big one. That's a classic big one.
You're asking if God is real? Well, of course he is.
I'm an atheist.
Oh.
What am I supposed to do with this information?
Well, you shouldn't be. Do you want to meet him?
Do I want to meet God?
Mm-hmm.
Can he bring my husband back?
Yeah, of course he could. He could do anything.
He could, but he can't.
He could, but he won't, is my guess.
Uh-huh. I think meeting God is a lot for me to... I've already been dealing with a lot today. Like, you have to understand what my day was like. Like, I woke up in Florida.
Wow.
I boarded a spacecraft with my husband.
Yes.
We said goodbye to everyone.
Oh.
We entered cryopods.
Yes.
And then I woke up like as if I had taken a short nap. And my husband my husband's dead. It's been 4 centuries. There's an alien made of tentacles. Another alien is proof of God.
Bob's real. That's my name.
This is so overwhelming to me. We cut now out into the hall. Grumda and Dewey watch through a window.
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out the exact moment when I should sedate her. She's freaking out. This is the most traumatic day of her life. She will remember these moments forever.
Well, as a social scientist, I gotta say, you don't want to knock her out now. She's gotta feel the feelings she's having while she's having them. That way, she can exhaust them rather than repress them and then relive them every time some other stress happens. She's gotta feel the fear of being in a new place and feel it authentically.
Grimda, as a doctor, aka psychologist, I completely agree with you. Your diagnosis is spot on.
And Dr. Dewey opens up his lab coat and pulls out a little medical diploma that he pins onto Grumda's chest like a medal.
Dr. Dewey, I guess I never realized. You and I, we're more than just peers. We are truly co-workers.
Just then, Ensign O'Boyle comes down the hall. He's carrying a medical chart. Dr. Dewey, Dr. Surgery asked me to bring this to you. He just finished the autopsy on Desmond Softwater, but he insisted he not appear on camera this week.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now that you've handed this to me, you're free to go and enjoy learning how to teleport.
Thank you for dismissing me, like, extremely condescendingly, but I think you should really look at that chart, Doctor.
I'm doing it now. Let's see.
As you can see, Desmond Softwater, he didn't just die because his cryopod failed.
Huh?
No, it seems somehow all of his organs have been removed.
What?
He didn't just die in deep space alone and cold. No, he was murdered.
Murder most foul. Murders that happened way too long ago for us to ever have hope of solving it. Phew.
And Dr. Dewey rolls up the chart and says, what a shame.
Don't give up so early.
Dr. Dewey turns to see Grumda, now with a pipe in his mouth. I believe we do have a suspect. The only other person on board. He takes the pipe out of his mouth and points it at Janet. Janet, who not a single harm seemed to befall. She is our first suspect.
She's the only suspect, Grumda. Are you saying she definitely did it because there are no other suspects?
No, not yet. A gentleman never reveals his secrets, and a detective never calls the case too early. First, we must interview the suspect.
I'm Dr. Dewey. Like Dr. Watson? Like Dr. Watson, get it?
Hey, Sturf, what are you doing?
Oh, hello, Bello. I'm just making an Easter basket, filling it with lots of treats and goodies for our fans, you see.
Don't you usually put, like, I don't know, jelly beans and chocolates in those?
Bello, don't be so pedestrian. Our fans are individuals with refined taste. We've got to measure up.
I don't know, Stir Fry. That's a lot of hooves to put in an Easter basket. And all these thorns?
Thorns are herb, Cordelia. Thorns are herb.
You don't need to worry about wowing people with your Easter basket.
But why, Cordelia?
Don't be a fool, Stairfry. You know good and well our fans will be swept away in joy and ecstasy after our in-person live show the night before.
Live show? Oh, you mean Rude Tales of Magic, Lent Enders.
Yes, it's Saturday, March 30th.
Right. Am I doing it in some back alley in some nameless old town?
No, Sturf. We're doing it at the Bell House, right in the heart of Brooklyn.
Oh, of course. Now I remember. Real Tales of Magic, Lent Enders. Live at the Bell House on Saturday, March 30th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7.
And tickets are on sale now. I just bought mine at realtalesofmagic.com.
This is fantastic. And you know what? I'm still going to add a few tumbleweeds to my Easter basket just to spruce it up.
Those freaks will love it.
You heard right, Credence. The Class Dismissed Gang returns to the stage in an all-new live show. That's Rude Tales of Magic, Lent Enders, live at the Bell House in Brooklyn, Saturday, March 30th, 7 p.m. Buy your tickets today or be tortured to death.
We fade now back to the sickbay of the CSS Cavalier. Bubsreel sits there, trying to explain the present to Janet Softwater, someone still hopelessly stuck in the past.
And a cockroach makes our food.
Maybe the best thing for me to like get to wrap my head around all of this is if I can just go back to Earth. Is that something we can do? Can I get transported back to Earth somehow?
Oh, you don't want to go there. Everyone you know's dead.
But, you know, if I could just, like, go back there, I might be able to track down some descendants or something, or being on a planet, being on solid ground, being on a familiar place might help me a lot.
Dr. Dewey and Groomda silently creep into the room, trying to sneak up and listen in on the conversation. But it's very bright, and it's obvious what they're doing, and they're caught immediately. So they stand like they meant to walk that way in the first place.
Excuse me, madam, I have a question about your brain function. It's crucial for making sure that you came out of cryosleep successfully and healthily.
And then he turns to Groomda and he says,
check this out.
All right, what do you want to know?
On a scale of 1 to 5, how do you feel about the morality of murder?
What's 1 and what's 5?
That's a very interesting question.
And he turns to Groomda and says,
suspect may not know the difference between right and wrong.
Is it like 1 is pro-murder or 1 is anti-murder?
I'm afraid I'm the one asking the questions. You tell me.
I can't answer. How can I answer that?
I see.
I think murder is bad.
Interesting. And Dr. Dewey turns to Groomda and says,
I didn't have any other plan besides this one. She's aced my test completely.
Don't worry, we've learned something. She likes numbers. Janet, it's me, Groomda, the social scientist of the ship. I've got a few questions for you before we let you go out and meet everybody else. You see, we're a bit troubled. So if you wouldn't mind answering a few questions. Number one...
I'm already answering questions.
Right. But I thought I'd ask. We're so sorry for your recent loss, but...
Yeah.
How was your relationship with your husband?
You know, we had our ups and downs like any couple.
Whose idea was it to originally get on this ship and go for, as you said, 20 years in the future, where both of you would lose all connection to the people you once were?
Oh, that was all Desmond. Desmond was the astronaut. I'm just a simple biologist.
A simple biologist? How interesting. We too are scientists. What's your preferred subject?
Biology.
Sure. Just like a specific organism that you research, or if you're being into space, there must be some specific style of biology that you yourself are interested in.
Human biology. I studied the human body, and I agreed to accompany Desmond so I could study the effects of the cryopod, you know, after our voyage.
This is fantastic to hear, though rather grim indeed, because you may have knowledge that might help us. You see, when observing the body of your deceased husband, we found that he had no organs at all. Now, is that normal in your time zone? Because for us, it's quite strange indeed.
What do you mean all his organs are gone?
No heart, no lung, no vas deferens.
The big three are all gone?
The big three.
No, Grumda, in my time, that is quite abnormal. Quite abnormal indeed.
So that's not a common way to murder someone? Remove all of their interior organs?
No, in my time, we would usually resort to, I don't know, shooting someone?
Oh, right. Guns.
Stabbing them?
Knives.
Pushing them from a great height?
Now you're a biologist.
Uh-huh.
What do you know about teal gas coming out of a body? I thought it was a fart, but I don't know. Maybe the farts I see are teal.
Teal gas?
Yes.
I don't know anything about teal gas.
Well, when we opened his pod, there was teal gas, and when we opened yours, there was nothing. Well, you were there.
Thank you. I don't know anything about that, but who knows? Maybe that could have something to do with his death.
Is it possible that in your journey so far, that maybe, like, one of your windows accidentally cracked open for a minute, and some sort of organ-stealing teal cloud space vampire crept in, killed your husband, got out? Oh, wait, you've never seen an alien before.
And I was asleep the whole time.
I was asleep the whole time. Do you have ship's records?
Yeah.
We could check that.
Okay.
And then you'd have peace because you'd know who killed your husband.
Maybe they signed in.
Perhaps they'd have to create an account to board.
But what if the window opened up?
Well, the windows don't really open up on spaceships.
They do now. You're gonna love it. Did you know a cockroach makes our food? He's very good at it.
We cut now. Back to the USS Brolin.
I forgot that was the name.
Dewey, you're there, looking over the records.
And what does he see?
Make a lasers roll.
Pertinence to the investigation. I got a 3, which is a success. Dr. Dewey is very scientifically minded.
You can see that, according to the ship's records, Janet Softwater's cryopod was active for the entire voyage, the entire 400 years. She never left stasis.
That's good. That lines up with her story.
You can also see that the vessel did pass through the Alpha Centauri star system 10 years into the voyage. And though it was supposed to wake up the Softwaters, it didn't.
Yeah.
That is when the ship changed course to the very course it was on when you found it today.
That's strange. What would make the ship change course instead of waking up the couple? Oh, I hope this wasn't one of those stupid old versions of artificial intelligence before they worked out all the bugs. Those things could run rampant.
Dewey tries to figure out what would have made the ship decide to change course. He does this by cracking open different records.
Make a lasers roll.
An even greater success. A 2.
Wow, incredible, Dewey. You're really doing it.
I'm Dr. Deweying it. Yes. I'm looking in this computer and I know exactly how to work it, even though it's so fucking old.
Dewey, there were no new coordinates or navigational changes made to the vessel. It's almost as if, I don't know, some kind of force or hand reached out and actually shifted the heading it was on.
Oh, there's so many weird different types of aliens, and mostly I like them. But this one looks like it had a sinister effect of some sort that we haven't fully come to realize. I should share this information with Grunda and my boss, Bubsreel.
We cut now to the quarters of Bubsreel.
Can you believe that?
No. You're not there yet, Dewey. You're not there yet.
Irishman, teleport me into the angel's room.
Bubsreel's very small, very neat room. Very sparsely decorated. It has a very neatly made bed. It has a small space crucifix over her bed and plain white walls. And she's currently dozing off peacefully with her head pressed into one of the walls, her lush angel wings behind her in case she should fall backwards.
And so Bubsreel's eyes are closed right now?
They are closed.
So that means Bubsreel probably isn't aware as her room slowly begins to fill with a teal gas.
No, and because Bub's Reel does not have lungs, anything that would resemble a respiratory system that we would recognize. As you may remember, she is totally hollow inside.
Yes, yeah, I do remember that.
We remember.
She does not appear to physically respond to the smoke either.
Interesting. Huh. So yes, the room continues to fill and fill and fill. And yet, Bub's Reel remains sort of statuesque there by herself, head against the wall. And then the gas begins to shift and move and change shape till it takes the form of something vaguely humanoid. It looks up and down at Bub's Reel and becomes almost agitated. The gas itself begins to swirl and move more quickly. And with a strange ethereal voice, it says,
"Where are your organs?"
Huh? Bub's Reel was dreaming in a vast white expanse, sitting at a large dining room table, and at the other end of the dining room table, she could just barely make out that she was looking at herself. And when she hears that voice, she imagines it is coming out of the faraway Bub's Reel. Can you repeat yourself?
She's going to stop imagining that because a strange, gas-like hand reaches out and grabs her by the throat, slams her against the wall.
Where are your organs?
What?
You have no organs and I hunger.
Can you let go of my throat, please?
It lets go.
Oh, I didn't like that. Hi, I don't have organs. I'm a space angel. Oh! She suddenly clocks that it's the teal, the same teal that seeped out of Desmond's pod. She grabs a jar from under her bed and it says, "For gas only." And she tries to usher the vapor into this jar.
Make a lasers roll.
It's another failure.
It quickly and easily moves aside as you swipe at it with the bottle.
You will not contain me. I have been contained for centuries.
And then it bursts apart. It loses that humanoid shape, and you watch as it goes under the door and into the hallway. As quickly as it appeared, it is gone.
Bub's Reel is hot on the trail of this thing.
Bub's Reel, you walk into the hallway, you don't see where it's gone. Make a lasers roll.
It's another failure. I'm rolling badly. It's a 5.
You can go left, you can go right.
Bub's Reel, she's going to clasp her hands in prayer. And then she's going to point her steepled fingers forward, almost like you would be holding like one of those water divining rods. She's trying to see if she can be led down the right path.
Okay, I'm going to let you make a feelings roll for this.
Ooh. That's a success.
You go left. You go left and you travel down the corridor about 100 feet.
Okay.
But in that time it took for you to sort of figure out which way to go, left or right, you see that was time that this strange being, this strange gas, it was all the time it needed for. You find there, crumpled on the floor, Ensign O'Boyle, or should I say, what's left of him?
Bub's Reel runs over and like picks him up by his shoulders the way you'd like pick up a sheet, you know, by the corners.
Yeah. And that's the right thing to do because there's so little left of him, Bub's Reel. All his organs, why, they're gone.
Oh no, the teleporter. And she snaps him like a towel and folds him neatly and takes him under her arm.
He still has bones.
They crunch.
Jesus.
Dr. Dewey here.
Wanda.
It's me, Bub's Reel. Help!
Bub's Reel, I was just coming to find you. I have very exciting information to share.
Bub's Reel, what is it?
Bub's Reel, what is it?
Look! And she shows the folded stack that was O'Boyle, Ensign O'Boyle.
Someone stacked the Irishman.
Let me start earlier. I was sleeping, and I was woken up by this vile teal gas, the same kind that seeped out of Desmond's pod. And he kept asking, where are your organs? Where are your organs? And I explained, I don't have any organs. And that made him angry. He said he was hungry. And I think that he slurped up poor O'Boyle's organs too.
What did I say? I said, what if the window opened on your ship and some sort of alien vampire that sucks out organs got on board? And here we are.
Now we've got to stop that thing before it gets anywhere else. And I know just what it's looking for. Organs, right? Well, there's nothing more organic than all of these tentacles.
Grimda's core seems to spiral out to reveal a throbbing tentacle with the words on it, juicy organ.
Bobthwheel, your favorite tentacle?
Yes.
This creature tried to take you. What if we put this inside your body and it will attract it back? And then when they try to eat it, I'll turn on my freeze and it will be frozen solid. Even gas can freeze.
Grimda has an ice mode. It could work.
So this is a tentacle that you made.
Yes.
A sort of external extension of yourself.
Yes.
And we're going to treat it like it was in me the whole time, because it'll be in me. It won't be a lie.
Yes.
And then I'll tap the teal vapor on the shoulder and say, hey, I've got some organs, if you're still looking.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then he'll be like, yum, 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 and he'll go in there. And then you'll activate ice mode and freeze the gas.
Exactly.
I love it. Oh. She opens her mouth.
The tentacle hops forward on what appears to be a plank made out of tentacles and jumps once, two, three. It wasn't a plank, it was a diving board. And it flies into the air and then whoosh, dives into Bubsreel's open maw.
And it sounds like a rock hitting the bottom of a bucket. Yum! Okay, now, do you want to tell Janet that we know she didn't kill her husband, or?
Not yet. A detective never reveals his secrets until the end of the story.
Okay, I'm gonna go find this vapor. In the meantime, she hands Dr. Dewey the stack that used to be O'Boyle. Bury him!
Yes, ma'am. And Dr. Dewey puts the folded up body into a nearby slot that comes out of the wall that says to crematorium. And then he shuts it, and you can hear like the pneumatic tube activate.
Bobsreel is, she's continuing down the hall in the direction that she felt the vapor was traveling. She's trying to tap into the spiritual energy of the space, like trying to hone in on him.
I'm gonna say make another feelings roll. I want you to roll twice. And we're going to take the worst roll because you do have this tentacle rolling around inside of you and it's throwing off your equilibrium.
Okay. Well, that was my laser feelings.
Okay.
And that was a success.
Okay, so we'll take the regular success.
Okay.
Bubsreel, you keep going left.
Wow. I feel sick. Can she hear Grimda, like, while this thing is...
Grimda can communicate with her telepathically through her stomach right now.
Okay. I think I'm on his trail. She's just scanning. She's looking for anything remotely tinged with teal.
Bubsreel. It's me, the tentacle.
Oh, please. You sound nice.
Don't put me back into him. Don't put me back into Grimda. Please.
Oh!
Promise me, after the ice form, let me die. Please let me die.
I can't.
Please,
I didn't know
please.
What I was
don't saying. Make me go back. Please don't make me go back. Please. Promise me. You believe in God, right? So do I. I've always believed in God. I always pray to be separate, to finally be dead, to finally be out of this hell that is my life. Please.
Oh, I'll think about it.
Thank you. I promise. If I die, I'll tell God that you saved me.
She's like sweating and still looking, still hunting. Organs!
Where is he?
Organs!
Please, let him come. Let the dust come and kill me. Then I'll freeze it and then I'll die too.
I'm positively pregnant with organs right now.
Bubsreel, you now stand before the CSS Cavaliers organ transplant lab.
Oh, that's better for him. Oh! What does she see? Is anything obviously amiss?
No. It's kind of like a meat locker. Like, there's a lot of
differences hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, there's a lot of fog machine fog sort of like blowing in, giving it that the kind of frozen vibe. There are like hooks, and like hanging from the hooks are lungs and kidneys and hearts.
That's rules.
And a couple brains.
Wow.
It's lit very blue. Like there's just sort of blue lighting. So all of the smoke and fog sort of looks a little teal. Bubsreel, I need you to make a feelings roll to see if you can sort of like detect a hint of this strange monster. So once again, roll twice and we're going to take the worst roll.
Okay. Success. Another success. The exact same number of four.
Bubsreel, you look around. There's no real sign of this thing, but it's so hard to tell. All you've got are these, is this sort of smoky gas wafting through the cold, cold room, and all of these organs everywhere. And then you look and see in the back, hanging from a hook, is a particular set of lungs, and a curl of smoke wraps around it and appears to almost be making the shape of a mouth that is chomping bites out of the lung.
Bubsreel doesn't even think. She lunges forward. Ah! With her mouth open and slurps down the set of lungs.
Amazing. Make a lasers roll.
Laser feelings!
Oof. Wow, first one of the game. Bubsreel, do you want to ask me a question?
Should I let Grumda's tentacle die?
Bubsreel, that question is a heavy one, and it's really one that I don't feel equipped to answer.
Okay, can I just like slightly rephrase? Do you think that would get her in trouble?
Here's the thing, Bubsreel. It might get you in trouble with Grumda, but you got to weigh the other option. Not extending mercy to a believer could also get you in some trouble, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. Okay, thank you. All right, so she slurps up those lungs.
The smoke curls back around and makes a giant sort of face and looks down on you, Bubsreel.
Ah, I see. You are like me. You lack organs, and so you hunger for them.
Oh, that's what your thing is. You know, I didn't know if it had anything to do with whether or not you had organs. Presumably you have something digesting these things. For me, they just bang around in there like coins in a bag.
Perhaps we could mate.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, I haven't the parts or the inclination to do that.
I see. I don't either, so it would have to get weird.
Oh, it could have been interesting, but it's still a no. Anyway, I have some yummy stuff in here, if you're interested. Yum, 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 yum.
Wait, you do have organs? Organs you offer freely.
Yes, unless the chase is part of the charm for you, in which case, don't take
them.
It's
a little bit.
Don't.
It's a little bit.
Oh, no.
This I like.
Okay, hey, wow, we really have a thing. Don't take them. Ha, ha, ha. And she kind of, like, lifts up the, like, skirts of her robe so that she can, like, prance away coquettishly.
The smoke follows you and wraps around you, Bubsreel, lifting you off the ground.
Wow! I can fly, but this is nice.
It shoots up your nostrils. And searches for that organ. That organ it's been promised. It will not be denied.
It's lower!
It goes down, down into your weird hollow cavity. And what does it find? Tim, what does it find?
It finds one tentacle praying. And if you're wondering how one tentacle prays,
I am.
It's
like
hunched
a pretzel.
Over.
Like a pretzel, because pretzels are folded to look like little hands in prayer.
It's praying like a pretzel.
Note to inventor of pretzel, a little abstract.
I always thought this as well.
And now the pretzel shape almost looks like a mitt asking to receive the falling gas.
Yes, this will do.
And it goes to eat the tentacle.
The moment it touches, ice form activates. The one tentacle freezes. Each section of the pretzel suddenly becomes geometric as it locks around the gas.
Grumda, make a lasers roll.
A success. A one.
The gas around you freezes. It freezes. The entire gas, now contained within Bubzeril, freezes around the iced tentacle. But your ice form is so powerful, Grumda, it doesn't stop there. Bubzeril, you feel an intense coldness inside of you, and you feel it spreading through you, like icy veins snaking through your entire form. You yourself are frozen, Bubzeril.
And Bubzeril, you hear a voice.
Please, die with me. It's the only way to let me go. Please, please, if your form dies, then I have to die too. Please, 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 you said you'd help me. Just, you'll help me by dying with me. Please, 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 please.
And then you hear another voice.
Wow, I have never been frozen before. I guess this did get weird.
Bubzeril appears frozen, yes, for a moment. But remember, she is a space angel. She is infinitely powerful. And what has actually happened is that you have activated Bubzeril's ice form. Her flaming sword lashed to her back is suddenly an icing sword. Her brown hair turns blue-white. Her skin crystallized. Her eyes, two blue jewels. Wow!
Now, dear listener, it makes so much sense. The cold never bothered her anyway.
Now we retroactively sue Disney. Bubzeril, radiating with a glorious chill, marching through the hall. Dr. Dewey, I need you!
Right over here! Bubzeril, you've caught a cold.
No, it's my ice form. Well, I've caught him.
Oh, excellent work.
Thank you. We need to get him out of here because he is just going to keep doing this.
Out of the ship?
Yes.
Can you mount me soon? I'd like to meet some more organs.
I don't think it would be safe to put it through a teleporter. Who knows how it would interact? We have to find some way out of the ship that isn't teleportation. We have to find some sort of ship's, I don't know, nasal passages of a sort that might lead to holes in nostrils or mouth or ears. That's it. We have to find the ship's holes, the ship's airlocks.
People often wonder, do I eat ladders? I sure do.
I beg of you to get this done quickly.
Well, let's run to the airlock. And Dr. Dewey consults a map on the wall of their hallway, and he's like pointing and zooming, and he's like, there's no airlock over there.
Dewey, make a lasers roll to see if you can find an airlock.
But with advantage because he's an expert in holes.
Yeah, Tim's right. Tim is right here.
Thank you, Tim. I got a 2 and a 4, a success and a laser felix.
Dewey, do you want to ask me a question?
If we blast this fucker out the airlock, will that work? Will we all be safe?
He won't be your problem anymore. Like, sometime eventually in the future, you know, if he went towards a star, eventually he would defrost.
Yeah.
But that could be in a million years.
And I'd be dead.
It's not your problem.
Dr. Dewey slams open the airlock.
Wait, please, Bubzeril, don't send me out. Just, you die too. You can have your ice form, and then I just freeze you, and then we'll all be dead. Me, the gas, and you. Please, if you send me out there, I'll still be alive. Oh, then I'll still be, as long as I'm alive, I'll be connected to Grumda.
I don't like you. She sticks her head out of the airlock and opens her mouth wide, and the vacuum of space sucks the vile frozen organs and gas from inside of her.
So the gas is surrounded by the ice form.
The gas is sort of like a snowball around the tentacle.
The frozen gas around the frozen tentacle fall out into space as Bubzeril hears,
I'll remember you. One day I'll die, and I'll go to hell, and I'll tell them what happened, and then I'll go to heaven, and then I'll tell God what happened too. You will rue the day you didn't kill one of Grumda's tentacles. You will rue the day you damned me from being.
I don't think that's how it works. She pulls her head back in and the frosty ice form falls off of her like snow melting off of a hot head.
Aw, damn! That was my guy! One of my little guys!
Oh, he hated you.
Oh, he's just put on a show. They all like to pull on a show when they get out of me. Oh, no, we hate it. But one day, don't worry, one day he'll be back. Yeah. They always come back.
Oh, well, I suppose we should tell Janet that everything is solved now.
She must be so relieved that we have expunged the killer of her husband back out into space. Now she's free to date again.
We fade now back to the sick bay.
Free to date again.
I don't know if that's my first priority, but yeah, I guess you're right, Doctor.
Hey, I'm taken.
Okay.
But don't worry, there's plenty of other humans on the ship, and also we have a hollow zone where you could practice kissing if you have to, with any number of fantasy creatures. And then you'll be ready to get out there dating again.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad there are so many humans I can date. And she looks at Broomda.
I'm not single. I'm many. And we're all available.
What adventure lies next amongst, oh, these, those stars of space? Oh, these, those stars of space stars Allie Fisher, Branson Reese, Carly Minardo, Christopher Hastings, Tim Platt, and Joe Lepore as everything and everyone else. Oh, These, Those Stars of Space is edited by Sam Grant, designed by Joe Lepore, and produced by Joe Lepore at Bucket of Milk, with the support of our patrons and our Rear Admiral, Lucas Wagner. Our theme and additional music is composed by Huge Today. See you next time, Cosmic Voyagers, for another story from Oh, These, Those Stars of Space.